because I kind of changed the thing. So we are we're progressing this week. Satan targets your dreams. That's the name of this series. I'm wrapping this series up today. We'll move on to something else next week. The title of the message is Nothing Can Stop Your Miracle Except You. Nothing can stop your miracle except you. Now, I want to start today by looking at a scripture that I started with last week, and it's Luke 10:19. It's in the Passion Translation. I love this. This verse is so powerful. And so if we can get that verse up, that would just be great. Thank you so much. Now, you understand that I have imparted, now just as Jesus talking, now you understand that I have imparted to you all my authority for what purpose? To trample over Satan's kingdom. All right? You will trample over every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Well, that sounds pretty complete. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in this authority. As you walk in what authority? As you walk in the authority that he has given you. Now, in Hosea it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We know that. So, if you don't know you have this power, and Satan comes along and he starts throwing all these obstacles at you, you will just fold up and fall to the ground and you're done. But once you realize that you have all authority to trample over his kingdom, that you'll trample over every demon before you and overcome every power that Satan possesses, and that absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in Jesus' authority, then when those problems come up, it's like that song. When those problems come up, it's a joy in every battle. Because you know at the end of that battle, there is something for you. And there's a victory for you. And we ought to walk in victory all the time. So I love that verse in the Passion. I think that is the best translation of that verse I have ever read. I love that verse in the Passion. And our series scripture has been Micah 7:8. But last week we backed up to verse 7, so I'll read both of those. Micah says, therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. I asked you last week, have you ever seen a child fall down, trying to learn to walk, and they fall? And what's the first thing they do? They get back, and they may cry, but they get back up. And that's what we do. You know, they don't stay on the ground and figure, okay, well, I have to crawl the rest of my life. They simply get back up and they try it again. And that's the most natural thing to do is when you fall but down is to get back up immediately. It's part of our nature as human beings. And it's also part of our nature as children of God. When Christians fall, the devil rejoices and he tries to convince you that you will never get up. That it's so bad that nothing's going to change it. It's just going to be terrible forever. And the devil will keep you down if you let him. So it is vital that you get back up and you do it immediately. Pity parties are not allowed at my house. They are not allowed at my house. Something bad happens, you get 5 minutes. You can feel bad for 5 minutes. After that, you got to fix it. Because we ain't having pity parties. Not happening at my house. Bad attitudes, not happening at my house. Does not happen. It is not allowed in my home. It is not allowed in my presence. It's not allowed in my office. It's not allowed in this church. It's not allowed in anything that I'm associated with. Why? Because those pity parties will take you down, and Satan will do everything he can do to keep you down. And once he's got you down, and once he's holding you down, has anybody ever tripped? You trip and fall. And before you think about how bad it hurts, you skint your knee or whatever, you push yourself right back up, right? But if you stay there for a little bit and you start hurting, do you get back up slower? Of course. Well, that's the exact same thing. You know, if Satan can trip you up and get you to fall, the longer he can hold you down, the harder it is to get back up. And that's why we have to get back up immediately. Page 1, number 1 of your insert. This morning, we're going to focus on the I shall arise part of verse 8. And that statement suggests an unwavering resolve to continue towards your dream. It's a statement that tells the devil that you will not give up no matter how difficult things look. The greatest people in history, in the history of mankind, are people who would not give up in the face of opposition. Great people know how to look at opposition in the face and declare that they will not give up no matter how many times they might get knocked down. And so when you're following your dream, it is not uncommon to be opposed. The devil does not want you to possess your dream. The devil does not want you to possess your dream. He does not want you to possess your dream. Do you get it? He does not want you to possess your dream. He wants you to think that it's never going to come to pass. He wants you to get discouraged. And you may be facing the worst crisis that you have ever faced in your life. But it ain't over yet. You've got to learn how to look at things the way God sees them. And I'm telling you that the way God sees things are probably different than the way we see things. Again, Micah 7:7 says, Rocky, over the weeks you've read this verse so many times, I am trying to get it in your spirit because it's an attitude. This verse is not just a verse that's a verse to learn. This verse is a verse of an attitude. And you need this attitude. I need this attitude. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I'll wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. And then the rest of it, rejoice not against me. We'll get back to that part in a minute. But I will wait for the God of my salvation. And those words are powerful. Say it with me. I will wait for the God of my salvation. They're powerful words. And next it says, my God will hear me. Now, if you believe that, then you're going to be willing to wait on God's timing. If you believe that God will hear you, and you say, I'll wait on you, God, then does that mean tomorrow you're out trying to make it happen? No. It means you're trusting Him, like you're supposed to, for Him to make it happen in His timing. How many of us love waiting on God's timing? There's no hands. What's the deal? Not even my hand. Nobody likes waiting on God's timing. But He is smarter than we are. You know, there have been things in my life that I wanted, and maybe 10 years, maybe a decade later, I got it. But then when I look back, I thought, man, if I had gotten this back then, I didn't have the experience. I didn't have the wisdom. I'd have messed it all up. He knows the timing. It's up to us just to stay faithful and wait. And there has been times I have waited 10 years. There's been things I've been waiting on for the last 30 years. But there's things I've waited on like 10 seconds. You know, it's He knows and I don't. Now, the question is, okay, Pastor, I'll wait. And so the question is then, do you wait in worry or do you wait in joy? Now, if you believe the Word, you will wait in joy. And you will look to the Word to see what God thinks about your situation and what He thinks about your life. And I'll tell you what God thinks about the situation Satan's trying to put you under. I'll tell you exactly what He thinks. It's in Psalms 37:13. Well, here's what God says about your situation. The Lord laughs at Satan, for He sees that his day is coming. Satan's day is coming. You got to keep that in your thinking. See, it may look as if Satan has got you right where you want him, but in reality, you have him right where you want him. Even if it seems as if nothing is working, and the devil is the one who I'm telling you, he's the one in the losing position. He knows that his day is coming, and he knows that his time is limited. And I've learned that when the greatest pressure comes on me to quit, that is a really good indication that Satan has fired his best shot. And if that one doesn't get me, then it's all done. So tell me if this scenario fits you at all. Because there have been times in my life where it seemed like the more I prayed, the worse it got. I'll ask this question. Anybody ever been there but me? A few of us. The rest of you, I don't know what you're doing. But there's been times, you know, the more I pray, it seems like the worse it gets. And the attack of the devil seems to intensify. And what do? You know, you go to God and you say, well, God, you know, this is terrible. What do I do? And what does He say? Y'all know the answer. What does he say? Yeah, stand. Hey, and you say, okay, man, I've stood, but what do I do now? Stand. Okay, God, I've been standing, and I need to know what to do now. You stand. And after that, all that, you say, Lord, I've done everything I know to do. And he says, yeah, stand. And as most of you know, that's what we have to do. We have to stand on his word. And after doing everything you know to do, you must continue to stand no matter how difficult things appear. God will not let you lose the battle. You're going to win, and your dream is going to be fulfilled. Your responsibility is to stand your ground as a good soldier in Christ, wearing your spiritual armor, as Paul describes in Ephesians 6, 13 through 17. So let's read that. He says, here's what Paul says, therefore, put on the full armor of God. Now, in those days, what was armor for? To protect you, right? Okay. So he's relating it to the time he lives in. Put on the full armor of God. So when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. And after you've done everything to stand firm then. Say, stand firm then. How do I do that? How do I stand firm? He continues in verse 14. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up your shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the fiery arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, there have been a few times in my life, we all go through problems, right? But there have been a few times in my life when I thought I was done. You know, the problem was so bad that I just thought I was done. And I just couldn't stand anymore. And, you know, you feel like you just stand for so long. That, you know, when the battle starts, you read that verse. Because, you know, we're good Christians. We know what to do. You know, we've been in church and we know what the Bible says. And so we go put on our armor. And because, you know, we feel there's a battle. We put on our armor. And then you pray and it gets worse. And then you're battling and you're battling and you're battling and you get weary. Anybody ever done that but me? And then it feels like your armor is just falling off. And you're just tired. And so when the attacks first start, you know, you're ready. And you respond and you say, man, I'm a good soldier. I told the devil, you know, you go through all your confessions every day, three or four times a day. You know, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. God blesses and meets every need. I mean, you know the word. You got your armor on. You are ready for battle. However, after doing that for a long time, you get to the point where nothing's working. You know, you feel like your breastplate's off, the shield of faith, it's so heavy now you can't even hold it anymore. You know, you can't take what the enemy's doing. Your helmet has slipped over. You can't even see anymore. You're just so in it, so deep into the muck that you can't even see anymore. Am I related to anybody? Yes, God, what do I do now? What does he say? Stand. And you're like, dude, you lost your mind. You know, you're just like, and then he'll tell you to stand, and you're just shaking your head, thinking. And then he always says the craziest thing next. Son, it's time to rejoice. Why? What do I have? Why? Do you see me? God, do you have any idea what I'm going through? Look, Father, I can't even hold my shield up anymore. There's no more space for any more arrows. My shield's full of arrows. I even got them in my helmet. Has anybody ever been there but me? If so, it's time to rejoice. It may seem as if you've lost everything. Number two on your insert. It may look as if you're never going to get over all the attacks that have been launched against you. However, say however. I want you to notice this one thing. You're still standing. And for this reason, it's time to rejoice. And although the devil may have hit you with his best shot, you're still standing and you must not ever give up. You keep trusting in God. Keep declaring the word of God over your situation. But Pastor, for months I've said my confessions. I'm tired of saying it. I don't care what you're tired of. You do what you know to do. You just pull yourself together. You keep declaring the word of God, and you may feel as if you're about to collapse to the ground because of all of the things that are going on around you, but you just continue to stand. It's time to rejoice. You have the devil right where you want him. So straighten up your armor and tell the devil, I will not quit. That's where that attitude part comes in. I'm not going to quit. In some of my situations in life, you know, you finally get the armor straightened out, and then you do what God tells you to do. You start what? Rejoicing. And you do that. And, you know, it's funny, once you take a stand like that, and I've had it happen, you know, you start rejoicing, and you kind of start getting built up. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And when you rejoice, you get some joy going on, right? And you start to feel like things are going to get better. And you hear something coming through the breeze. And it's not a dart. And it's not an arrow. It's a blooming missile. Satan is no longer sending darts or arrows. He started pulling out the heavy artillery. And I'm like, my God, do you hear that? I thought you said it's time to rejoice. And he'll always say the same thing. Get ready, brace yourself, and keep rejoicing. And again, the question comes up, why? And he'll always say, son, when Satan starts pulling out the heavy stuff, that's when you know for sure you got him right where you want him. Brace yourself now. You brace yourself, and when that missile hits that shield of faith, in my case, it has rocked my world. And you think, dear God, this is the worst thing I've ever gone through. And God says, keep rejoicing. And once again, you start rejoicing. You're doing your best to stand your ground. And finally, when the dust settles, you're still standing and the victory is yours. Just as the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 6:11, you will be able to stand safe against all strategies and tricks of Satan. I don't have the reference this week. We read it last week. Remember, we read the verses last week where it says that God will not allow you to be tempted, tested, or tried beyond what you are able to endure. So you know that if something is coming at you, God already knows that you can withstand it. Because if you can't withstand it, basically it's like this. Satan, I mean, God's talking to Satan, which he doesn't do, but I'm trying to get you an image of this. You've gone too far. You're trying to push them past something that they can't withstand. That's not playing the game fair, and it's not that it's a game, but you understand I'm trying to paint a picture. And God says, no, you can go this far and no further. And he can't stop Satan because Adam gave Satan the authority to operate in this world. But at some point, God says, no, you're going too far. So if God knows you can handle it, and you know you can handle it, and the Word of God says you can handle it, then you just get yourself together. And perhaps you feel like right now that your armor's fallen off. And maybe you don't even know where your armor is. Well, this is not the time to start stripping off what maybe little armor you got left. I'm telling you, you know, during this whole time, whether you got a family issue or a relationship issue or a work issue or whatever you got going on, right now in this time in history, it is difficult. And this is not a time to back off. It is a time to tighten up your armor, and it's a time to stand. And if you will, you're about to win. Again, Micah 7:8, rejoice not against me, O my enemies. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. Now, here's I'll go there in a minute. I better just hold on to that. Have anybody in here ever had an experience of sitting in darkness? Probably all of us. Darkness is the absence of light. And the Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 130, that the entrance of your word, the entrance of God's word, gives or brings light. The darkness that I'm talking about is that darkness that comes to your mind when Satan bombards your thought life with impossible-looking situations. And there are times when that kind of darkness will try to surround you. And it may look like everything has turned against you. And it may look as if you are absolutely, you know, there's no way to get out of this. And no one's going to come to your aid. And when you're sitting in darkness, Satan wants you to believe that it's all over and there's nothing to live for. And many people have committed suicide because they couldn't take the darkness anymore. Well, Micah said that he went through a time when he was sitting in darkness. But let's remember how he responded to it. In Micah 7, 7, 8, "Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness," what's going to happen next? "The Lord will be a light unto me." This is Micah 7, 8, like I said a minute ago, it's an attitude. You got to just have an attitude. This says, "Satan, I'm not giving up and I'm not quitting. I'm not stopping. I'm not letting my armor fall off. I'm going to stay in the Word of God. I'm going to confess the Word of God. I'm going to use the Word of God the way it was intended. I'm going to take the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. I'm going to slice and dice. Oh, yeah. And if I trip up, yeah. Well, I'm telling you, you better not rejoice against me because, yeah, you're my enemy. But when I fall, but I'm not staying down. I am getting back up. I'm not going to sit in darkness. You may try to bring darkness on me. Depression, that thing that says, there is no hope, nobody loves you, nobody cares, it's so bad, why don't you just end it all? Well, when I sit in darkness, I know one thing, my God will be a light unto me. So no matter, it's an attitude. It's an attitude that I win, it doesn't matter what you do, I win. I'm not staying down, I'm coming back, and I'm coming back so much stronger. And you're going to regret that you did this. And that's the same declaration that Micah made that we need to make. We need to stand up and we need to say that we look unto the Lord. We will look unto the God of our salvation. Number three in your insert. So we understand that we have to stand, right? Somebody say right? And we understand that we have to rejoice, right? But there's one other thing that we must do to guarantee victory, and this may be the hardest one of all. You have to rest in the Lord. In the healing of the paralyzed man at the pool of Bethesda, and what does rest in the Lord mean? Yeah, just be steady. It means not worrying about it. So in the healing of the paralyzed man at the pool of Bethesda in John 5, 1 through 16, Jesus knew that for 38 years, the man had been flat on his back, unable to do anything for himself or others, no matter how hard he struggled. In the case of the woman who was crippled by a spirit of infirmity, by a demon, in Luke 13, 10 through 13, Jesus knew that the woman had been bowed over for 18 years, and that in her condition, she saw very little that was beautiful in life, only the dusty ground, dirty sandals, and bruised feet. And what about the man with the withered hand found in Luke 6, 6 through 10? Jesus knew from his carpenter days how a useless hand could have easily given the man a very poor sense of self-worth. And I believe that all three of these, you know, in their own way must have struggled for so long to get back on their feet because their situations either lasted their entire life or a very long time. Try to lift themselves up to and attempt to do something about their situation only to be disappointed every time that they fail. In fact, they got so frustrated and for striving to get better. And they met Jesus. And they probably just given up on that situation. You can flip over to page 2, number 1. It was then that Jesus came and extended his offer to turn their situation around. And when they embraced his offer, they received the miracle that they had sought for so long. And you too may be struggling to get back on your feet or to lift yourself out of a problem that has been weighing you down. And you've attempted to do whatever you could, hoping that it would amount to something, but you've been frustrated time and time again. And that is precisely the time when you must stand in faith, rejoice in faith, and stop struggling and trying to figure it out yourself. God wants you to cease from all of your struggling and accept the offer he extends to turn your situation around. Now, turning it around may not be the way you think it ought to be. That's why it's called faith, and that's why we trust God. It is no coincidence, though, and I find this very fascinating, because in Jewish culture, the Sabbath was a day of rest, right? And technically on that day, they could do no work. And that's why Jesus kept getting in trouble, because he kept doing things on the Sabbath day. And I don't think it's any coincidence that all three of these people received their miracle on the Sabbath day, the day of rest for the Jews. God's word says in Hebrews 4:9, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. The day you decide to stand, no matter what, rejoice, no matter what, and stop your own laboring and striving and rest in the finished work of Christ is the day you will receive your miracle. I believe that because Jesus has done all the work. Whatever you need has already been provided for at the cross. So just be at rest and receive the miracle. Confess this after me. My God hears me. The God of my salvation will come to my aid. I will be victorious, and my God will be glorified. So see, that's the kind of declaration we need to make in order for us to come out of darkness and the things that try to put us down and hold us down and fill us with depression. Have you ever faced darkness? Well, we all have. You know, I have many times. You know, I mean, when you lose a child, it's a time of darkness. There's a time of depression you go through. And we've lost two. You know, and it's a time of depression. You know, in my own childhood, you know, having a mother that was a drug addict and was very cruel, also very loving when she wasn't stoned, but she was stoned more than she wasn't. And you know, getting beat with the belt, with the buckle end of the belt, not the other end of the belt. Being told you're this and told you're that. I mean, it's darkness. You know, when you work so hard and then you spend 25 years building something and you leave one company and you start your own company and it's going great. And then the company you left sues you for $5 million, and you're just in a startup, and you don't have $500, much less $5 million. Well, depression tries to come on you. And then when you finally get things going, you're on your way, and you have these demon-possessed people fly airplanes into buildings, and you lose everything you've spent a quarter of a century building. It's a time of darkness. You know, there are dark times in our lives, all of us. The question is, what do you do with them? How do you deal with them? You go from victory to victory is what you do. Has God ever taken an impossible situation and turned it around? Yeah, we sang about it. And if he did it once, what did we learn a few weeks ago? Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 10, that he delivered him, and if he delivered him once, he will rescue him again and again, however many times it takes. And so when darkness returns, you have to remind the devil of the victories that you've already seen. Declare them out loud. You say, well, Pastor, I'm a new Christian. I don't really have any victories like that. We just read about them. Go to the Word of God. Find out about the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. Because you're going to face a fiery furnace in life. You want Jesus in there with you, or you want to try to do it on your own and get burned to a crisp? You know, you're going to get backed up against the sea sometime with the army coming at you. You want God to part it for you and go across on dry ground and drown them? Or do you want to get massacred? The question comes down to, what do you want? So yes, even though you personally may not have anything, there are victories that you can go talk to the devil about. And yeah, devil, that's exactly what God's going to do for me too. Because the Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. So what he did for one, he will do for anyone else that has faith and will believe. It doesn't matter what you may be going through in your life right now. You may feel as if you're in the darkest dark you've ever been in. Yet even in the darkest dark, there is a light that is soon to come if you are willing to wait for it. Again, Micah said, "The Lord shall be a light unto me." You know, last week we read out of Matthew chapter 14. I'm not going to read the whole. It's a very long passage, but we read it. Jesus had a really bad day and a really great day. You know, in the morning, he finds out that probably his best friend, his cousin, the one that came to lead the way before him, John the Baptist, had been beheaded and executed. He's depressed. He's sad. He gets in a boat to go be alone. He gets to the other side, and the crowds have gone around the lake and met him on the other side. Now, most of us would have just been like, "Would y'all leave me alone?" What's he do? He pushes it right back in the devil's face. So immediately, he gets out of the boat. He starts healing the sick. That's what he does. He says, "Satan, here you go. You don't mess with me? Here you go." He starts healing the sick. And then he ministers to the people. And then in the evening, the disciples talk to him about food. And he says, "What do you got?" And they got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he feeds the 5,000 men plus women and children, probably 11, 12, 13,000 people. And so that's all going on. And so after that happens, he goes to the disciples and he says, "Look, you guys go ahead of me to the other side. I'm going to dismiss the crowd and I'm going to go pray finally. I'm going to get some time alone. I'm going to go up to the mountaintop and I'm going to pray." And he does that. And the disciples are out in the lake or the sea in the boat, and a storm comes up. And they all think they're going to die. So let's pick up the story there. Matthew 14, 25 through 27. "Now, it was the fourth watch of the night. Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It's a ghost,' and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid.'" See, the disciples had been told to go to the other side. The storm had arisen. The boat was filling with water. How many of you have been out there on the sea? I don't mean literally on the sea. I mean the life. And the storm has arrived and you feel like your boat is sinking. You live more than about 20 years, you'll know what that feels like. And you feel like it's sinking. And they're afraid. And so it says, the disciples believe they were about to drown. And the Bible says that in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the water. He says, "It is I, don't be afraid." Number two in your insert. Now, you know this. The fourth watch of the night is the darkest part of the night, probably around 3 o'clock in the morning. Because the moon has set on one side, but the sun has not risen on the other yet. So it is the darkest part of the night. It's always darkest. Say this with me. It's always darkest right before the dawn. Yeah. And so you may be out there in the fourth watch of your night. Your boat may be filled with water and waves may be beating against your ship. In the natural, it may look like it, as if there is no way except you're just going down. But I want you to notice that it is in the fourth watch of the night, the darkest hour, Jesus came walking on the water. He always comes in your darkest hour. When you're in the darkest dark that you've ever experienced, that's when you need to start looking for the Lord. He will be there with you no matter how things look. The disciples did not recognize him when he started toward them. They were afraid, and they even cried out, "It's a ghost." And finally, Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, it is I." Now, here's the crux of this, folks. Now, if you're watching this, we have people in this church, we have people that watch us. and business has gone awry, family has got sick, things have happened, situations have come up, relationships have diminished, things have not worked out the way we thought. You know, in my business, everybody punch your neighbor. In my business, 2020 was going to be our year. They had a whole new system coming out for us that they were going to adjust rates. I mean, it was going to be, I was fully staffed. I mean, everything, 2020 was our year. I had a staff meeting. I'm so excited. And I'm like, okay, we got to keep all this. We got to finish up all this training we started last year. And we got to get this going. And we got rates cut. And we got this. And we got this. And it's going to be our year. And it started out great. Well, then our lead person in sales leaves. So we put somebody else in there. Then COVID-19 hits. And, you know, that stops everything. Then the new system we were going to get, they introduced it in a couple other states, and it didn't quite work right. So before they introduced it in the state as large as Texas, they stopped it. So we're stuck with all the old stuff. 2020 has not exactly been the way I visualized in January. And many of you have had situations happen in 2020 that are not exactly the way you visualized them in January. True or false? There are people in this church that have had challenges, health challenges, business challenges. They've had them all. And here's what happens. Most people, like the disciples, they don't recognize God in their darkest hour because they've stopped looking for him. That's just the reality of the situation. And like many people, the disciples had settled into a mindset that it was over. But you need to understand, it is not over until God says it's over. And God will not say it's over until there is victory. Micah proclaimed that he would look to the Lord and wait for the God of his salvation. Understand this. Jesus is walking towards you today. He's already set himself in motion, unless you've given up. He's got your miracle in his hand. He's walking towards you, but if you're not looking for him, you will be just like the disciples, and you won't even recognize him when he comes. And you can miss your miracle. The moment you think that you're in the darkest hour, instead of saying, "Dear God, it's over," you need to look for Jesus. He is the way when there seems to be no way. He is a light unto you. In Genesis 17:4, God called Abraham a father before he was ever actually a father. In other words, Romans hadn't been written yet, but he was actually practicing Romans 4:17, which tells us to call things that are not as though they are. God said, "You'll be a father," and as far as God was concerned, that settled it. God doesn't care. You know, God's like, "I don't care if your wife is barren. I don't care if you're 100 years old. It makes no difference to me." He said, "You'll have a child." And God said, "I said your descendants would be as many as the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore." Did you know that right now, God is calling you something different than other people are calling you? God is calling you a champion. God is calling you more than a conqueror. God is calling you a world overcomer. God has proven to us that he can make something out of nothing. When everything looked hopeless, Abraham believed anyway. He decided not to be moved by what he knew that he could not do, but rather to be moved by what he saw and what God said he would do. And again, in Romans 4:17, God calls those things that are not as though they are. Now, the word "call" there means summon. In a court of law, someone may be summoned to appear. And once a summon has been issued, the recipient will face legal penalties if they do not respond to that summons. When God calls for something, a summons is released in the spirit realm, and it must now appear in the natural. Likewise, you must call for whatever God has put in your heart. 18:18. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What are you calling for? Well, it's never going to work out. Well, okay, you just called for whatever's not going to work, that it's never going to work out, and that's going to be bound on earth, and it's also going to be bound in heaven. So the angels stop, the Holy Spirit stops, everything stops because you bound up heaven by your own confession. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound on earth. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed on earth. Whatever you bind, whatever you loose. What are you binding and what are you loosing? Well, you know, I just feel like, stop talking about how you feel and start talking about what God says. Well, you know, I can't deny my feelings. Yes, you can. How many of you have ever been sick? How many of you have ever got up and gone to work even though you felt like death warmed over? Did your body want to get up? What were you doing? Yeah, but what'd you make yourself do? Deny my feelings and go do it. You gotta stop being so emotional. Well, no, that's not true. I want you emotional. God wants you emotional. But he wants your emotions to be focused and funneled on loosing and binding what you need to loose and bind, and not your emotions focused on it's never going to work out, nothing's ever going to happen, my life's over, da, da, you know, why, you know, like Charlie Brown's teacher, you know. It's just like, you know, you just want to whine. Stop your whining. Find out what God says. Get yourself up. Get yourself going. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. What's the verse we read last week? It says that whatever you're facing is common to man. Other people have been through what you're going through. You're not the only one. The difference is, you know, some people face a problem and you know, it's the glass half full or half empty. You know, it depends on how you look at it. It's perspective. It's your attitude. Fix your attitude. Get yourself in the Word of God. Get the Word of God coming out of your mouth. Get your armor on. Get your sword out. What's your sword? Your sword is this book, having this Word of God in your heart so that you know when a problem comes up, what to say out of your mouth, what to bind on earth, what to loose on earth, what to bind in heaven, what to loose on heaven, so that when that battle comes, you will be victorious. Once you call for whatever God has put in your heart, a summons has been issued, and now it must appear unless you quit. And no demon can stop it. The only person who can stop it from happening is you. How? By getting weary, giving up, and aborting your dream. You must wait in anticipation for it. No matter how long it takes, you wait. Do you truly want your dreams to come to pass, or have you just lost sight of them? Nothing can stop your dream if you will continue to trust God. And no matter how hard the devil tries to keep it from you, and no matter how hard the devil tries to keep it from happening, your faith will cause you to overcome everything he throws your way. But you got to get yourself some training, some education. You know, guys that are watching, that you're part of this church, that you'll pick this up on Wednesday or Thursday, that you've been so sad and so depressed because things haven't worked out this year the way you hoped, welcome to life. Get yourself back in church. Get yourself back in the Word. Ladies, get hooked up on Wednesday nights. Men, get hooked up on Wednesday nights. Youth, get hooked up on Sunday afternoon. Get yourself in church. Get full of the Word. Stop your whining. Stop your complaining. Stop your worrying. Because when you worry, that is faith in reverse. Worry is having faith in what the devil said. Faith is having faith in what God said. Stop your worrying. Stop your fretting. You can do it. I know you can do it, but it doesn't matter what I know. God knows you can do it. Get yourself together and do not let Satan use this time to pull you down. Right now is the time to rise up and seize your dream. God gave it to you. It is worth fighting for. Now wait, Rocky. I have this dream. Now, is that a dream that's based out of your insecurity or your lust for things or your fear? Those aren't dreams. Those are curses Satan's put out there to try to distract you and pull you down. And if you're full of the Word, the Holy Spirit will talk to you and you will hear Him and you will recognize that that is not a dream. That is something that is a distraction. I don't want a distraction. I want to know what God has for me. And once I get that in my spirit and I get rid of all these other things that I want but that aren't the dream. Let me ask you this. We know that Satan came to what? Steal, kill, and what? Destroy. We know that Jesus came to what? Give us life, and life what? More abundantly. So if your dream is going to steal from you, kill your faith, steal your joy, who put that there? Satan. If your dream is going to give you life and life abundant, that's the only definition. If your dream is going to give you life and life abundant, then it's from God. One's a distraction and one's a goal. And you have to be wise enough to know the difference. And sometimes we mess that up. But you ought not mess it up all the time. But the only way you won't mess it up all the time, because here's the thing. This one comes from that still small voice on the side of you that says, do this. This one screams at you. Anybody ever had that happen? Yeah. If it's screaming, you need to really evaluate if that's from God, because that's not God's style. Does that make sense to anybody? So I'll close with this. It's number 3 on your insert. Satan does not have the power to steal your dream. He cannot take your dream if you won't allow him to. And when he comes, remind him that you have authority over him. Remind him that there is nothing he can do to stop you from fulfilling your dream. Remind him that the Lord is a light unto you and that your destiny is in God's hands. And once again, let me encourage you to never give up on your dream, no matter how long it takes, no matter what kind of obstacles or barriers you might face. Don't you give up. Pursue your dreams with everything that is in you. And always remember that God is on your side. And when God is on your side, the deal is done. And it doesn't matter what distractions try to come up. The deal is done. That's why they call it faith. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you are here this morning or you're watching or listening to me, and you say, Pastor, my life is kind of a mess more than peace. Worry more than joy. Well, if you're a Christian already, you need to just get yourself right with God and get yourself in the Word and find out what the Word says. And maybe just rededicate your life to Him and get serious. And if you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, then you need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Because He's the only answer, but He is the answer. He will do things, take you places. It is incredible what the favor of God and the wisdom of God will do for you. So if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or you'd like to rededicate your life to Him and you're in this room, just lift a hand. If you're, thank you. If you're watching, just respond to God. Just respond. That's all that's necessary. Life is too short to be distracted by things that are not put in your way that will give you joy. Let's all say this prayer together. Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you. I worship you. I thank you for loving me so much that you gave your Son for me. I can't even relate to what that would be like. But I'm so grateful that you love me that much. And Jesus, I thank you for coming, being willing to die for me so that I could live as a child of God, righteous in you, born again. I will serve you all the days of my life. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Now, every head bowed and every eye closed still. We're wrapping this up today, so let's get right down to it. Look, everybody's eyes are closed. Nobody will see you. And if you're in your own house, nobody's going to for sure see you. But if you've been dealing with depression, if you've been dealing with darkness, if you've been dealing with falling and you're finding it difficult to get back up, there's a way out for you. I can't make that happen for you, but I can get in agreement with you. And there's power in agreement. So if you'd say, Pastor, I'm dealing with those emotions and those issues, and I just want you to pray for me. If you're at home, just acknowledge it. If you're here, just lift a hand for a second. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, in Jesus' name, I speak with authority as a child of God, as a joint heir with my Lord, Jesus the Christ. I speak with the authority that comes through the Holy Spirit, through the anointing of God. You saw the hands in this room and you see the hearts that are out there watching. And Father, I ask you to just reach down. They've already acknowledged their need. I ask you just to reach down, Father, and just encourage them. Holy Spirit of God, they've already given you permission. Just infill them. Just show them that you are with them. Help them to know that you are there. I bind depression in Jesus' name. I bind up this spirit of depression, this spirit of sadness that is over us. That has tried to just grip us because of COVID. I bind this fear up in Jesus' name. Fear of death, fear of sickness, fear of loneliness. I bind it up in Jesus' name. And I speak peace and joy and health and prosperity and peace and peace and peace over these lives and all of our lives in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. All right, well, we wrap this up today. I hope this series has been a blessing to you. It's been a blessing to me, so I hope it's been a blessing to you. Father, I love you and praise you, and I thank you for the opportunity we have had to just dig into your word these weeks and find out what you have for us. That there is nothing that is launched against us by the enemy that can defeat us. We have all power and all authority in you. I thank you, Father, for that. I thank you for giving us every tool we need to be successful in this life. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Angels of God, I dispatch you to go forth into this week to prepare our way, to lead us and guide us into the right areas, at the right times, and the right places. And I thank you for it. And be blessed, child of God. Have a great, wonderful, anointed week in Jesus' name. Victory is yours. in the name of Jesus. And again, if you'd like to participate in the ladies, 7 o'clock on Wednesday night, email doliver@calvarynewlife.cc. If you want to participate with the men, you can give your email addresses to them if you're here. But it's band@calvarynewlife.cc. And we will see you on Wednesday evening. Youth, 4 o'clock this afternoon. And you guys are dismissed. Thank you.